20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers Nation? Andy Herman here. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day and joining us here on our 365-day-a-year endeavor that we call the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and give those five-star reviews. We always appreciate it. Today, we're going to be going over special teams. And more specifically, we are in a very unique situation in Green Bay when it comes to Rich Bisaccia stepping away out of nowhere, seemingly. By all indications so far, it seems like he did, in fact, step down. But what we're going to be going over today is what Green Bay can actually do to fix this long Packers nightmare of brutal special teams that has cost Green Bay numerous games, numerous playoff games, NFC championship games, and has gone on for far too long. So today, we're going to put together the blueprint to actually fix this nightmare once and for all and make special teams competent again in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Flex710, the JTY4565, For the Faint of Heart, Gunny Elneck, and Jeff Dodden. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. Now is a great time to sign up for memberships. I'm going to be on vacation in a week, and that means I'm uploading a bunch of videos in advance. In fact, this episode I'm doing right now is actually the fourth episode that I've done today. I recorded already with Pete Doherty. I already recorded with Dusty Evely and with Tyler Brook. Those episodes are going to be uploaded soon. They'll go live for everyone eventually. But if you are a member, you get early access to those. Those should go up as you're listening to this on Thursday at some point during the day. Also, you get a bunch of other perks, members only Q&A as well. So make sure to check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. We do have a couple pieces of news and notes, nothing major. Packers will not be going to Mexico City. The 49ers are hosting the game in Mexico City this year, and the Packers don't play at San Francisco. So that's done. They will not go to Mexico City. I still expect them to have an international game. Maybe Germany. Mark Murphy was asked about Germany. Now, Mark Murphy is no longer an official position with the team, of course, right? He is the former president, but he was asked about Green Bay maybe going to Germany, and he seemed to kind of sort of indicate that maybe that would be the case, but you know, I don't even know if he knows or is you know, privy to that information anymore. Who knows? But maybe, just maybe, Green Bay will ultimately end up in Germany. Like I said, I do expect them to have an international game. We just know at this point they will not be in Mexico City. They will not be in Australia either. Meanwhile, San Francisco has a brutal travel schedule with a couple international games now. Not ideal for them. That could really hamper one of the key, you know, competitors in the NFC in 2026, which could potentially benefit your Green Bay Packers as well. That brings us to our main topic. And like I said, we are in the midst of this Rich Bisaccia scenario where he has stepped down seemingly out of nowhere. It does seem like this was a Rich decision. That's what, you know, it seems to be indicating so far. We'll see if anything new comes out about it. But in the meantime, Green Bay has to find not only a new special teams coordinator, but they've got to find a way to ultimately be better on special teams. There are fans that are very frustrated with the Packers organization, whether they don't like Goody or they don't like Matt LaFleur, they didn't like Rich Bisaccia, they don't like Adam Stenovich, they don't like Luke Butkus, or they're just frustrated with the overall state of the team. I think a lot of that is just a little bit overblown, but the frustration is real when you seem to have reached a cap of where you are as a team. I understand all that. I get it. And you can fan how you want to fan. What I will say that I was frustrated with, and I think there can be a real disappointment in, is hearing Goody at his press conference. And I'll state again, GMs are liars. You know, they are there to lie a lot of the time. It's part of the job description. But to go to his press conference and really go out of his way to say how good the special teams has been and to say that it's on the right track and that it's, you know, as good as it's been in his tenure and that it's all trending in the right direction. I don't think the word disingenuous is right because he seemed genuine when saying it, but it feels like we're in different universes. And I've talked about special teams is a unique term because it covers a variety of different things. And there were things Green Bay did well on special teams. They punted incredibly well. By all accounts, Matt Orzech, I don't know anything really about long snapping. I'm not going to pretend to. By all accounts, Matt Orzech did very well snapping. Their punt coverage was really good. Their kick coverage was pretty darn good. It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty darn good. There were things that they legitimately did do well on teams. However, they had a ton of penalties, or at least a good chunk of penalties. They had really poor kick returns, really poor punt returns, and Brandon McManus cost them on multiple occasions, and they had blocked kicks, blocked field goals, blocked extra points, etc., that cost them through the course of the year. To just blanket sort of statement and say, really anything, if you wanted to make the argument that, yeah, special teams is in a good spot, that is inherently incorrect. There's just no way you can logically make that argument. You could also say the special teams is just an unmitigated nightmare. Aspects of it are. All of it, no, because again, there are a few phases that they did really well at. So that you can't just blanket statement this, but I do feel like Goody is, you know, getting up there and telling us special teams is okay. It's like, you know, the doctor being like, you're going to be okay, and you can see yourself bleeding out. It's just like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be okay, doc. Like, this is not looking good. It just doesn't pass the test of being a good, competent special teams in any ranking, any EPA, any DVOA, any metric that you want to look at, or just the simple smell test or the eye test or whatever you want to view it as, tells you that this is not a good enough special teams. The following comes with a trigger warning. I am going to trigger some emotions, and I apologize for that in advance. Green Bay, of all teams, should understand what's at stake with a bad special teams. This past season, Green Bay had 9 losses or ties throughout the course of the season. 8 losses and a tie, 9 games they didn't win, all right? We're nuking the Vikings game. Not a real game. We're moving that Vikings game into the exhibition schedule. They actually had 4 exhibition games this past year. They lost 8 games that were either a loss or a tie. All right, 8 non-wins. 5 of those were directly related to special teams. 5 of their 8 legitimate losses were tied directly to special teams. That's a huge chunk of your games. Brandon McManus blocked field goal in week 3. That completely turned the game around. That's a win against the Browns. If you don't have that field goal blocked, then McManus makes that. McManus blocked extra point return for a 2-point conversion in a game that you tied. It's a 3-point swing in a game that, again, you eventually tied. Green Bay probably wins that if you don't have that play. Brandon McManus against the Panthers in week 9 in a game they lost by, you guessed it, 3 points, missed a short 43-yard field goal in that game. You had the failed onside kick recovery against the Chicago Bears, which cost them the game. You had 3 missed kicks against the Chicago Bears in the playoff game, which, in my opinion, clearly cost them the game. That's the 5 right there. 5 of their 8 non-wins are right there, all directly related to special teams. To be clear, it's not that special teams was the only thing. There were other things that had gone wrong in those games as well, but if those 5 things go differently, Green Bay very likely wins all 5 of those games, or at least has the opportunity to in a much better way. There's another one too. I'm not counting this against special teams, but in a game against Philadelphia where they lost by 3 points, at the end of that game, Green Bay had a 64-yard field goal attempt to tie the game, and it was comically not even close. However, what I will say is, I would just dismiss it entirely and say, all right, that it was a 64-yarder. What do you expect? We live in 2025, 2026, where these kicks are now made with actually some regularity. Maybe not 64 with regularity, but it's now well within the realm of possibility, where before you would just be like, oh, that's ridiculous. You're attempting a 64-yard kick. But now it's like a thing. It's a real thing that happens in the NFL. So I don't count that one. I'm not putting it on the list, but there are teams that you actually can make that kick. Green Bay is not one of them. So I'm counting 5, but there's a small smidge of one that's a little bit included in there as well. We'll be right back. Hey friends, it's time to shoot your shot on Prize Picks and get $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's right, Prize Picks is now giving you $50 in lineups when you sign up and play your first $5 lineup. Now Prize Picks makes every dunk, every dime, and every board that much more exciting. So don't miss this chance to get started on America's number one app for sports picks. And yes, Prize Picks is available here in Wisconsin. I've been picking more or less every week and have never looked back. Make sure to check if Prize Picks is available in your area today, and it probably is. They're available in 50 states. Now, Prize Picks doesn't end with football season. This week, I'm going with some basketball and hockey. Tyrese Maxey, Connor McDavid, Cade Cunningham, all three are going to be in my lineups this week. I can't wait. And guess what? Baseball season is going to be here before you know it as well. So it's time to join millions of users and sign up for America's number one sports picks app. And Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals are fast and secure. So download that Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. That's not it. If any coach in the NFL should be frustrated by what special teams has brought them in playoff games, how about Green Bay's last four? Bears this year, 3 missed kicks, 7 points, poof, gone, done, see you later, game lost. Philadelphia Eagles, opening kick return, fumble, yes. Extenuating circumstances, did he get helmet-to-helmet hit? Should it have been a flag? Yes. Did he actually recover the fumble? Yes. They screwed it up twice. But still, opening kickoff, ball on the ground, Philly gets it. That's a huge play in the game. That's not the only thing. Mr. Brandon McManus, who missed 3 kicks against the Bears, how about against Philly, down 10-0 last year, missed a 38-yard field goal in that playoff game. Now, they lost that game by 12 points. I don't know that that field goal would have made that much of a difference. Philly was clearly the better team. I can tell you, if you start with a kick return that doesn't end with a fumble, and if you get a 38-yard field goal made, Green Bay would have had a much better chance in that game. And special teams clearly played a huge part in that game in the negative for the Packers. Of course, the year before that, the 49ers, Anders Carlson misses a 41-yard field goal in a game that you ultimately lose by, you guessed it, 3 points. And then, of course, the last playoff opportunity before that was the 49ers blocked punt at the end of the game. That's the one that stands out. Do you also remember that before half, Green Bay had a 39-yard field goal that was, you guessed it, blocked in a game that they lost by, you guessed it, 3 points. Holy crap. And let me just state the obvious. We all know. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Some of these things you may not have remembered crystal clear, but we don't even need to know the details to know that special teams has been a real freaking problem. And that's why after basically, for those who don't know, at Goody's press conference, there was a question earlier about special teams. And then at the end, they said 2 more questions and 2 questions got asked. And I tried to get one in at the end and I did. And it was, what gives you the faith in Rich Bisaccia that is going to ultimately lead the special teams to success, or that you feel like this is the special teams is in a good spot? And, you know, when you've had playoff games that have been lost in large part due to special teams, and he again went on to praise Bisaccia and the work that he does and the culture that he sets and everything like that, which might all be true. But at some point, at really all points, this is a results-oriented business, and you have a special teams. I get that that's encompassing of a variety of different factors, but you have a special teams that cost you at least 5 out of your 8 losses or non-wins this year. And your last 4 playoff games were in large part, or at least a huge part, lost in big moments due to special teams. That's insane. So to go up to the podium and say, yeah, you know, we really think it's in a good spot and things are trending well, and you know, we've got all the faith in the world and Rich, and all right, but it feels like you're selling us an untruth. You're right. Like it feels wrong. It feels like you are not being fully transparent. It feels like you are trying to tell us something that is very clearly not actually what's going on. But like I said, I don't think he was disingenuous, which might be a little bit more troublesome and worrisome, to be honest. And then we, of course, get to the Rich Bisaccia situation. And at Rich Bisaccia, you know, either been let go or stepped down or a mutual parting of way is a couple weeks after the season, probably would have celebrated it. Would have, or at least been like, all right, this is probably a chance at a fresh start. Let's see what they can bring in and maybe get some new ideas in. The fact that it's on February 17th that this happens and that all of the special teams coordinators are basically picked over gives me some real fear that this could actually get worse before it gets better, that they are not going to be able to find somebody as good as Rich Bisaccia, and that this could go in a negative direction. And that should be scary when you have a team that already has lost a bunch of games and playoff games due to special teams. And it felt like Rich was maybe the first special teams coordinator in the Goody and Matt era that actually was able to secure buy-in and get it so that they had a little bit more time in practice and that they were able to use some starters on special teams and that they were able to get players like Nick Niemann and Christian Welch and Zane Anderson, etc. And now that's gone too. So I have real fear of what could come next. But if there is any team that should recognize just how important this is, imagine it was anything else. Imagine it was, you know, that their corners just got nuked every time, which we might be able to make a list of that as well. But, you know, they would clearly go and get new corners. You know, when the safety room was obliterated, they went out and they got Amos and they got Darnell Savage and they, you know, they remade the safety room. When the edge room was disastrous, they went out and got Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, and Rashawn Gary all together. They've gone out and tried to fix issues in the past, but apparently special teams has not been enough on the radar to go out and fix it in a significant enough way. And that has to change. And they should know it by now. I don't even bring up the Seahawks game in 2014. They lost an NFC championship game due to teams and a bunch of other stuff too, but you get my point. Onside kick recovery, key one, fake punt for a touchdown, key one. Teams lost in that game. There's no organization that should know more how important this is than the Green Bay freaking Packers, yet they can't seem to get it. So today, we're going to try to solve the problem. What can Green Bay do to fix this never-ending nightmare that is Packers special teams? For as blessed as we have been with quarterbacks, as cursed as we have been with special teams, I guess I'll take the trade-off, but my God, let's try to fix this once and for all. So number one on my list to fix special teams once and for all. Of course, they have to hire a new special teams coordinator, and they must get this hire right. The list of special teams coordinators has just been an unmitigated nightmare. None of them have worked, and maybe it has nothing to do with any of them. Maybe it's all systemic. Maybe it's all the other stuff we're about to talk about, but they need to hire a very smart individual. Hopefully it's not immediately fired. They need to hire somebody that can come in and bring new ideas and juice and energy and even bring this to another level. I do have a name, and we talked about this one briefly with Justice yesterday, but I've narrowed it down a little bit. Jet Modkins, Detroit Lions assistant special teams coordinator. This was Lions beat writer Mike Payton on Modkins, and he wrote a great article as well. I highly recommend checking it out. He said, quote, "As a Lions reporter, I can tell you that Modkins is one of the most ready assistant coaches I've covered in the last 11 seasons. It's a surprise that he hasn't been hired yet, but special teams coordinator is one of those jobs that doesn't open up all that much. He did interview with Tampa Bay this offseason, did not ultimately get that job." He went on to write the article and said, "Modkins comes with the recommendation of Lions special teams coordinator Dave Phipp and head coach Dan Campbell. The Lions special teams coordinator Dave Phipp said this, 'I mean, what we are looking for is a guy who obviously is really hungry about coaching football. We wanted somebody who is young and hungry to grow and learn and who is all in and committed. And then you want high motor, energy, energetic, bright future ahead of them. Good person, honest, direct. You want a guy who can handle the players and not acquiesce to those guys, but be able to tell them what they need to do and be able to project my word and message or our word and message. And he's done a great job since he's been here.'" So some high praise for Jet Modkins in Detroit from the special teams coordinator, from the media that covers him. He's been highly thought of in Detroit. that's the direction I would go in. And by the way, for Mike Payton to say, one of the most ready assistant coaches I've covered in 11 seasons, Detroit's had some pretty darn good assistant coaches that have gone through there in the last handful of years. So to say Modkins is maybe the most ready assistant, that's telling to me. Ultimately, I have no idea. I have no idea if Modkins would come in and be a revelation or if he'd never, you know, just never get this thing off the ground and be just another special teams coordinator name on the gravestone of special teams coordinator names in Green Bay. The special teams coordinator list is almost looking like the famous Tim Couch Browns jersey that is just a billion names on it now. That's where we're at. But I do think Modkins would be a really strong hire as much as I can tell so far. That's the direction I would go in. But regardless, Green Bay needs to get that hire right. Number two, they need to then hire an assistant special teams coordinator. And maybe that's Corey Harkey, who is currently their, you know, third in command, if you will, or maybe it's somebody different, but they need to make a strong hire as an assistant special teams coordinator. It's not just one. They need to build a full team and make it so that they have enough resources there to really commit to this. And that's number three. They also need to keep a third assistant. That's something that Rich brought to Green Bay. He was able to get buy-in to have a second assistant, a third coach on the special teams unit, the coordinator, the assistant, and then one more to the list, more of an assistant to the assistant, if you will, but quality control. They need to continue with that. And they need to hit all of those hires, not just one, not just two, but all three. And maybe Harkey stays as the third, or maybe he's promoted to the second, so be it. But they need to make sure there are quality people in all three of those roles. Number four, they need to continue to dedicate starters to special teams. And this is in multiple phases. We've seen it on coverage units, specifically kick coverage, where you'll see a Xavier McKinney or an Edgerrin Cooper or Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, et cetera, that are on the kick coverage team. You will see some players, especially on the punt unit, where it's either a personal protector or some guys on the line that are going down and ultimately trying to make the plays on the punt team. You will every once in a while see some on the kick return units, punt return units. And the other one too is on the field goal and extra point block units, where they lost a game against Cleveland because Elton wasn't out there on the unit. I don't know if he just wanted the plays off or was trying to refuse to do it or whatever the case may be, or they just wanted to not have to put him in there. The field goal gets blocked. And then I think the next week they too have the extra point blocked. And then eventually they get him out there and they put him on the team's unit, on the block unit, and it is never an issue again. It obviously gets hurt, so it wasn't all season, but you get my point. It's all hands on deck. I'm not saying Christian Watson should be out there. I'm not saying, you know, that Micah Parsons should be out there. There's probably some limits, and you don't want Xavier McKinney and Edgerrin Cooper out there on all units. I get that, but there are some that need it, and you have to be willing to do it. And I think they found a smart balance there, and they need to continue to do that. Is it some susceptible, you know, injury risk, or could they be more susceptible to it? Sure, that's a possibility. But to me, that's a risk that you need to take in order to ultimately try to get this right in the long run. Number five, you have to dedicate even more practice time to special teams. This is something that has been a systemic, long-time issue. It's not going to fix itself overnight. It's not going to fix itself by trying to ignore it. You have to put the time, effort, and energy in. And I get it. Nobody wants that to take away time from defense or from offense. You need that time as well, but you've got to figure out a way to manage the time effectively so that special teams, offense, and defense, I'm not saying they're getting equal time, but they're all getting time that they need to perfect their craft. I don't grade special teams because I want to ignore it as much as possible. If we could eliminate special teams and just play offense and defensive football, I would probably like that a whole heck of a lot more. But we would all, to some extent, maybe like it to just be put to the side and ignore it. But you can't. And Green Bay's got to find a way to make it a much bigger priority. Number six, you've got to find a returner. Not just a kick returner, not just a punt returner, but both. It's such a lost opportunity. I mean, it's such a lost opportunity. I will give Dobbs credit for, you know, not having any catastrophic plays. He caught it, you know, firmly and didn't have issues, no muffs, no fumbles. That's a key part of it. But man, you have to be dynamic in some way. And I would love if Green Bay could actually have a return game that could set their offense up for success or actually get points on their own. And it just hasn't worked that way. It's like watching the same boring, you know, black and white, no sound movie over and over and over again. And it's just like, there's nothing that is more bland than just watching a returner get it and basically get tackled right away. And it's not just the returner. You have to block it better too. But man, you need a dynamic returner in some way. You have 53 roster spots, right? You have 48 on game day. One has to be dedicated to a return specialist. I mean, it can be a huge game changer for you in any game and just set you up in the field position game as well. And for a coach in Matt LaFleur, who has wanted to shorten games and play these drag it out brawls, every little margin matters in those type of circumstances and in those type of games. You better have the ability to win all of those little minute battles that don't seem like they're major things in the moment, but are going to look like it when you get to the end of the game and look at the final box score. And Green Bay is just losing yards because they have no return game. They've got to fix the blocking, but they need return specialists on this roster. Number 7, they need to legitimately challenge Brandon McManus as a kicker. They need to bring in some fresh bodies, and really try to find, like, the goal should be to find an upgrade to McManus. If you can't, fine. Maybe you fall back on that. And it's going to be tough because McManus was near perfect in training camp and preseason last year. And then the season came and it completely blew up, especially in big moments. But I need to see not only legitimate competition, but somebody with a big leg too, who has maybe the possibility of making a 58, 60, 62 yarder when needed. And also McManus sucked at kicking it in the end zone a bunch of times, not on purpose. Ones that were accidental, that were not supposed to go in the end zone. That happened way too much. So they need to legitimately challenge Brandon McManus as a kicker. And then number 8, whoever the kicker is, whether it's McManus or somebody else, quit kicking it in the end zone. Quit doing it. You got to make them return the ball and you got to hold them within, you know, hopefully the 27, 26, 25 yard line to push them back a little bit, not allow them to have it at the 30 yard line. That's got to be better too. We'll be right back. Next up, it's time to think creatively and, you know, be on the precipice of new ideas rather than just watching what the rest of the league is doing. And even that, they weren't fast adopters to, you know, whether it was the, you know, some of the muddy balls that they were, you know, kicking in play that were, you know, because once it hits the ground, it's in play. And then you have to return it. But if not, you know, you get it at the 20 instead of the 35. Like, those are things that they have to be able to make different. They have to be able to, in the moment, when they see other teams having success with things on teams, they have to be quick adopters to that stuff. And in the Rich Bisaccia era, it never felt like they were. It never felt like they were. Number 10, you need to continue to add special team specialists to the roster. I'm not saying they need more, but Aaron Mosby, Nick Neiman, Christian Welch, Zane Anderson, and some of those maybe would, like, I think Anderson would have made it no matter what. I think he's a good enough safety, but they need to continue. Well, Eric Wilson the year before, they need to continue to have those players. You have to dedicate a couple spots that are going to be pure specialists. Bo Melton is another that has to continue. It can't get worse. If anything, it might need to get more, but you can't have less specialists on this team. You have to continue to add that and maybe even take it one step more. Number 11, I mentioned creativity, but I need to see a little bit of maybe, I don't know if I want to call it trickery. Green Bay is already screwing things up on teams, so adding any complexity is scary. But there are ways, whether it's just on a kick, you know, there's the play, and I think Chicago ran it against Green Bay, where, you know, you've got two returners back on the kick return team and you take it and it looks like it's a return right. And then you've got the receiver that comes in motion and it looks like it's going to be a reverse, but it's just a fake pitch. It's just a fake pitch. And you see some players react and then he continues up the same sideline he was going anyway. It's just a wrinkle to make the other team think, you know, do you have a punt formation where, again, punting is fine, so maybe this is the wrong one, where, again, you look like you're going to fake it, so you bring everyone in and you get under center, or somebody else gets under center, and then so they take the punt rush off, and then maybe they bring their returner in to play defense, and then it still snaps back to Whalen and he punts it, and there's no returner back there, so you don't have to cover it as hard. Like, just little things like that. I'm not asking for anything crazy, but make it so that the other team has to think more. again, Green Bay special teams has been so bland. When is the last fun anything that you remember on teams? Chicago had that unbelievable fake punt against Green Bay at the end of 2024 that, you know, faked everybody out and scored a touchdown. Green Bay has not done anything unique or creative or tricky or anything on special teams, and it feels like forever. Can you add that element to it just so other teams have more to prepare for and have more to think about too? That's an aspect that goes into it also. Number 12, maintain your punter, long snapper, and coverage units. Those were actually pretty good this past year. Daniel Whelan needs to continue to punt the way that he was. You need to be able to continue to cover those punts as well as kicks, and the long snapper cannot become an issue in, you know, in addition to everything else that's gone wrong. So those have to stay status quo or better. 13, penalties have to be corrected. There has to be a stronger emphasis. And, you know, whether it be punishment or whatever it might be, there just needs to be almost a zero tolerance to committing, you know, special teams penalties. Can't happen. You can't have a kick return out to the 30 that's now at the 10-yard line because you held at the 20. Just can't happen. Just can't happen. So they have to be much better when it comes to penalties. Number 14, every minute thing matters. This goes back to the field goal protection unit where Elgton Jenkins wasn't out there. Why? Why is he not out there? Get him out there. Put your best blockers out there. And once you did that, it basically corrected an issue that was, you know, that cost you a game. That cost you a game. Every little thing that, and you have to have an insane attention to detail when it comes to teams. And I'm hoping the new special teams coordinator brings that mentality to this team because they haven't had it and it needs to be better. And last but not least, there still needs to be an entire change in the culture. First of all, kill WeFence. I never want to hear WeFence again, but I think Rich Bisaccia started it. I think he started a little bit of a special teams revolution in Green Bay, but he was never able to see it through to completion or quite get it across that line that it needed to be. I think the new coordinator that comes in can take some of the things that Rich has corrected, that he has made better, that he has got buy-in for, and now hopefully can take it one step further to get it to competence. That's all I'm asking for. Again, can you be the 14th to 16th best special teams? I'm not asking for top five. I'm not asking for top 10. I can't have it be 30th. I can't have it be worse. It has to be competent. And that's where Green Bay needs to get. And there still needs to be a legitimate culture change. It can't be an afterthought. It can't be, you know, offense gets 45%, defense gets 45%, and special teams gets the remaining 10% or worse. It has to be a real legitimate program that gets a real legitimate amount of time in the entire organization. And it has to be started to taken more seriously, bar none, no question. Because the way things are right now, if they don't fix it, if they don't change it, if nothing gets updated or improved, guess what's probably going to happen for the fifth consecutive playoffs? There will probably be a core special teams error that ultimately leads to a Green Bay demise. And I am ready to be done with it. And hopefully some of these things we talked about today, not that anyone in the Packers organization is listening anyway, but if they do some of these things, hopefully, fingers crossed, we could actually see a competent special teams in 2026 and beyond. And I will tell you right now, I will believe it when I see it. And in the meantime, I just expect it to be a train wreck and something that they just can't get right. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope we see that change this year. Just to recap, got to get the special teams coordinator hire right, as well as the assistant special teams coordinator, and still keep a third assistant or a second assistant, third coach. Continue to dedicate starters to special teams, dedicate more practice time to special teams, find a kick returner, punt returner, challenge Brandon McManus legitimately for that job. Don't let McManus or the other kicker continue to kick it into the end zone. Think creatively and be on the precipice of new ideas, or at least early adopters to good ideas that are out there. Continue to add special team specialists to the roster. Add fakes, trick plays to your repertoire. Just make other teams think a little bit more. Doesn't have to be anything crazy. Maintain punter, long snapper, and coverage units. Penalties must be corrected. Every minute thing matters, and change the entire culture of special teams. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members: PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, the Gable Storm Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weiss, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhart, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, and Zilch Zillertson. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.